Good morning, let's all stand, take your songbook, turn to page number 279. 279. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plain, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations Brother Billy Harmon, will you open us up in prayer this morning? Turn to page number 292, 292. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing man of sin, revealing Jesus through his word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed believe it and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome each and everyone out this morning. During these COVID times, it looks like we've got a pretty good number inside. We thank you for being here, and for those in the parking lot or at home watching on their televisions. We do have some announcements. This is Missionary Sunday, so on your way out, you've got the little church on the right for your tithes and offerings, and on the left is the little box for missionary, anything you may have for the missionaries. I know we've just paid them, and it seems like it's ongoing, but we've got to start building up for next year, so missionary box on your left, and outside there will be two plates, two young men out there holding the plates, one of each. So just let them know where you want the money to go to. Also, this evening, Pastor has asked for a teachers' leaders meeting before church. What time? 5:30. About 5:30. Just a short meeting, trying to decide what we're going to do going forward, because it almost looks like we're going to get shut down again before we get close to being back to normal. So please be here for that. Ladies, if we're open, Wednesday evening is the ladies group ministries night with Awana and men's meeting, youth group. Ladies group is reminded, be prepared to discuss Psalm 6 at the December 9th meeting. It's been a while, so she just gave you a bookmark to make sure you're ready. Also, stockings for soldiers. In lieu of the stockings for soldiers that we have been doing, and Kraus, Angie, and Brian have made arrangements to adopt the Conowingo Veterans Center. If you can help at all with that, see Brian or Angie. I'm sure donations, they've got a list of things here, but if you can't do that, I'm sure donation money would help them purchase these items so they could work in this direction. Do not forget that our evening service time has changed. It is now 6:00 in the evening. 6:00. I think the pastor went along with that because all the restaurants are closing early, and this gives him a chance to, well, anyway, to fellowship after services. So it just worked to his good. Any other announcements? Joanne?
Bread.
We do have bread at the pantry.
I also have cod
stew. A new batch or the same? The same? Okay. New address list is on the back table. If you would like an updated one, many have already started bringing in Christmas cards. And if you bring in Christmas cards, if you don't have time to sort them and place them yourself, many of the teenagers are back there at the beginning of service. Be glad to take those and help separate and hand out. So please keep an eye on the box.
If you haven't been given any cards today, look in the box on the way out. There's probably some for you.
Okay, I don't know if you heard that. He said, if you have not been given any this morning, check the box on your way out, because there are probably some in there for you. So that way, if you remember the old accordion box we had, sometimes it would get crowded. So please, if you're here on during the service, check the box and take them with you. Any other announcements? Okay, Miss Debbie, are you going to sing with the kids this morning? Little kids, come on up. Little singers. Come up and sing with Miss Debbie. Going to sing Christmas songs. Okay, did anyone else come sing for us this morning? I see Brother Steve and Jackie. Anybody else? Wave big. Nope, Brother Steve.
I was persuaded this morning to sing this song again, and I guess it was the will of the Lord anyway, because during the men's prayer get together this morning, Brother Jack was mentioned especially, and we prayed for him. And so I want to do this song for Brother Jack. I hope he's listening this morning. Hope you get a blessing from it, brother, and we do miss you. And but I don't want you guys to lose the message to the song. Even though I'm singing this for Brother Jack, there is a message in this song for each one of us. We're not an orphan anymore. We've been adopted by the great Almighty. We have a great future ahead of us as the adopted children of God. So keep that in mind. Now, the title of this song is No Longer an Orphan. Once my clothes were ragged, the world looked down on me. I had no hope for tomorrow, nor for eternity. Then grace came with mercy and heard this orphan's plea. Now I've been adopted, from bondage I've been set free. Now I'm no longer an orphan, someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered, my family is royalty. I came so empty-handed, no place to call my home. No one really loved me, the
But now look what I own. I'm feasting on the manna that comes from God on high. And there is no shortage. There is a vast supply. Now I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My family is royalty. No, I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My family is royalty.
Miss Jackie.
This is called The First Christmas Night. They followed the star at the angel's command. Wise men and shepherds came to Bethlehem. The night was so special as they gathered there. The birth of their Savior brought joy everywhere. Wise men and mortal men and shepherds alike were gathered together the first Christmas night. Mary and Joseph, the ox and the lamb. No one brings them together like the Lord Jesus can. Closer and closer the day is drawing near. Christmas is coming and soon we'll be here. Family and friends will all gather in. Oh, what a time, and it's because of him. Wise men and mortal men and shepherds alike were gathered together the first Christmas night. Mary and Joseph, the ox and the lamb. No one brings them together like the Lord Jesus can. Wise men and mortal men and shepherds alike were gathered together the first Christmas night. Mary and Joseph, the ox and the lamb. No one brings them together like the Lord Jesus can. No one brings us together like the Lord Jesus can.
I'm not trying to ignore you, just trying to turn so he can see me. Move over closer to Jackie, you'll be able to see a little bit better. There you go. I've never been the kind of man to wish upon a star, but I must admit I'm standing here wondering what you are. 'Cause me and my two comrades were headed out tonight. We're not sure where we're going, we're just following the light. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how we wonder what you are. They say beneath your diamond glow there's someone we should get to know. Lean on to lead us there, so that we too can share in worshiping this King who's come from afar. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Many years have come and gone since the wise men saw the light and journeyed there to find out why a star was born that night. But this one thing's for certain, you and I can see it too. For the beautiful star of Bethlehem still shines for me and you. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how we wonder what you are. They say beneath your diamond glow there's someone we should get to know. Shine on to lead us there, so that we too can share in worshiping this King who's come from afar. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Shine on to lead us there, so that we too can share in worshiping this King who's come from afar. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You up, didn't I? Y'all pray for Brother Bryson. He goes this afternoon to take some preliminary steps on going into the military. And that's a big deal. And we're proud of him, appreciate him, and just want to encourage him and help him. So y'all pray for him. That'd be a great thing right there. It's good to be back in God's house this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school hour. I tell you, the more I study Revelations, the more encouraged I get. And I guess extended nursery is dismissing to go down. If any are going down this morning, they're already down there waiting on you, so just head that way. If any little ones are going to go down for extended nursery. I guess nobody's moving. All right. Well, go on. But turn in your Bibles with us this morning into Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. On Wednesday night, if you was here on Wednesday or you listened at home, you will recall that we preached about the hope of Christmas, a hope that will last. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 said, he said, I hope in thy commandments. I hope in thy commandments. He was trusting in a hope that doesn't change in the immutability of God's Word. Then he said, the next verse, he said, the workers of iniquity and the evil man, he said, stay away from me. I want to separate a hope that brings separation between God's people and the world. And we need to have a hope like that, a hope that draws us away from the worldly crowd, draws us unto the godly crowd. We should pick our friends based on what they're going to do for us. I seen that recently. I loved it. I don't know what some preacher posted it somewhere, but you know, if you're going to pick friends, you need to have friends like the paralytic, friends that are going to draw you to Jesus. They're going to carry you to Jesus. That ought to be the type of friends that we choose in this world. Amen. Whether, not just because we're sick, but on a regular basis, friends that are going to bring us and draw us and carry us to Jesus. That's good for young people. That's good for moms and dads. That's good for single men and women. Amen. That's good for old grandmas and grandpas. Amen. You want the kind of friends that are going to draw you to Jesus. Amen. And that's the kind of hope that we should have. And then he goes on to say, he said, I don't want to be ashamed of my hope. He said, I rest in you and I claim you, so I won't be ashamed. Excuse me. I won't be ashamed in my hope. When our hope rests in God's grace and mercy, we don't have to be ashamed. Some people say, well, I've seen you and you did this. Yeah, I'm still human, but my hope rests in God's grace and in God's mercy. My hope doesn't rest in me. My hope rests in Him. Amen. I'm glad we can have the kind of hope that has a sure anchor for the soul. Amen. A hope that we don't have to be ashamed of. A hope that we don't have to worry about. And when the devil comes along and says, you're just an old sinner, I say, yeah, I am, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And this morning, we want to preach to you on the peace of Christmas. A peace that the world can't take away. And in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. And if you found Ephesians chapter 2, we'd invite you, if you're able, to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now listen to this. For he is our peace, who had made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace?
Dear kind Heavenly Father, thank you once again, your Lord, for this opportunity to assemble. Father, we just ask that you touch the bodies and watch grow in them. Dear Lord, many are still fearful of this virus, dear Lord, but we know that you have all things in control. We do ask, Lord, that you watch and care over our church and church family, dear Lord, that we do things right, dear Heavenly Father, that we would still be an example to the world, dear Lord, that we can worship you and still be safe. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you give many that are here this morning, just open our hearts, our ears. Dear Lord, be with the one who stands before us with the word. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As Paul is writing to the Ephesians, he's reminded them of who they were and where they were and where they've come. And sometimes we need to be reminded. And I remind myself, and I tell you all the time, I know that I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke. I know that's who I am. But praise God, I've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. And that's what makes the difference. Grace makes the difference. Grace brings peace. Grace brings hope. Grace brings contentment. Grace helps us to get past who we are because of the great sacrifice that was made for us. In verses 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." There's nothing I can do to earn it. I can't be good enough to get it. I can't pay enough. I don't know how much it would cost to obtain it. So therefore, my salvation and my hope rest on God's grace and God's mercy. See, mercy is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. We've got to get that right. Amen. God gave me something I didn't deserve. And I rest in that. And the Apostle Paul said that we were strangers. We were, he said in verse 11 to 12, he says, "Wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles, in the flesh you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now Christ, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And Jesus, and what Paul's saying here is that the promise was made to the Jews. The hope of mankind would come through the Jews. Amen? It would behoove the Jews today to take a note of just who Jesus is and just what God has given. It would take note of us today, the Gentiles, to take note of just who Jesus is and where he come from and how God had sent him. And because we were Gentiles, we weren't part of the promise. We weren't part of the commonwealth of Israel. We were on the outside. But God made provision for us. God made a way for us. And when the Jews rejected Christ, he was willing to allow the Gentiles to come in and to invite us in. And we've had access. And we can go in. But we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. It isn't because we were deserving. It's still because of the sacrifice. It was because of God's gift. It was because of the shed blood on Calvary. We think of Jesus. We think of Christmas as the baby in a manger. But we don't want to see him as the Lamb of God, as the Paschal Lamb, as the sacrifice for our sins. And that's exactly what he was. That's exactly why he came, to be a sacrifice for sin. And now because we have a hope through the blood of Jesus, and because we can accept him as our Savior, and we can know that peace that only he can bring, we have something to be thankful for. And at Christmas time, and when we think of those words, peace, you know, we always see at Christmas, you see the blocks, and you see all this joy and peace and hope and love, and you see all these things, and Now, sometimes we just read words and we look past words and we don't dig into the words. And I want to dig into these words and just see some things that help us to understand exactly what we're saying and exactly what all these Christmas decorations are trying to say, even though they don't realize it. Most of them are just in it for the money. Amen. But praise God, there's more than money in Christmas. I'm glad Jesus is there. All right? Right in the middle of it all. But in verse number 11 or 14 in our text here this morning, it says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle of wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace." And praise God, I'm glad this morning that our peace doesn't rest in this world. It does rest in Jesus. He is our peace. He is the personification of peace itself. Amen. When you look up peace in the dictionary, it should say Jesus. Amen. When you think about peace, you should think about Jesus. When you consider peace, you ought to consider Jesus. Do you realize that peace is a gift of God and it only comes from God. The world can't give you peace. We read in Revelation this morning in chapter 6. We're studying right now about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And the second one has been unleashed. The one that rode upon the red horse has been unleashed. And power was given unto him to take away the peace of the world. Do you understand something? That peace is something that only God can give and only God can take. Amen. When you allow God to have his way in your life, no one can take the peace of God away from you. Do you understand that? Do you agree with that? Because God gave him the power to take away peace. Amen. He can't take away the peace that God gives you unless God allows him to do that. And God is the personification. Jesus Christ, his son, that baby born in a manger is the personification of peace. He is our peace. My peace don't rest in my religion. Praise God, I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptists adhere to the word. But there are so many different kinds of Baptists. You can't even say the Baptists are right. They're going to be Baptists, I say all the time, splitting hell wide open because they're Baptists, but they're not saved. He's my peace because I trusted him as my Savior, because his blood was shed, and because he gave himself for me. Look at what it said. Having made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, have abolished in his flesh the enmity. What's that mean? It means that he suffered. It means that that separation us and kept us from that promise and the hope that is in the word was made nigh unto us by the blood of Jesus when he suffered on an old rugged cross. Why do I have peace and why can we have peace in a lost and a dying world? Because our peace rests in Jesus. Amen. We put too much emphasis on things sometimes and we let things disrupt our peace. Our schedules get crazy. Amen. Susan was telling me about, said that this has just been our week. This morning had a freezer go down at the store. David's on his way to church in his old truck, and his old truck broke down. You know, and this is happening, and that's happening, and we can let things rob us of our peace. Amen. Sometimes we set plans in place and we're going to do things and our plans get disrupted and we let it interfere with our peace. But when we let our peace get rested in Jesus Christ and make him our peace and see him as our peace, we can live and get past all these frustrations and aggravations and all these disruptions of life because they're not where our peace comes from. They're just the things that we got to deal with. Peace can only be found in Jesus because he alone broke down that middle wall. He alone made the way for us to be partakers of that promise that God had made. He's the root of all peace. In 2 Thessalonians, and you go and read 2 Thessalonians, you'll get a good snapshot, a good picture of what's happening in the world today and what's about to transpire. Amen? But he's the root of all peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always, by all means, the Lord be with you all." Now, I want you to understand something. The Lord of peace, he was the one who gave power to the angel or to the rider on the horse to take away peace. Amen? He's still the Lord of peace, and he's the Lord of your life. He's the Lord of peace in your heart and in your life. People will disappoint you. People can rob you of your peace. Your kids can steal your peace. Amen? Your kids can take it away. Your parents can take it away. Your friends can take it away. Your enemies can take it away. Your employer can take it away. But they can't rob you of it because it comes from Jesus. Amen? He said, "Now the Lord of peace grant you peace." My peace doesn't come from people. Now, if me and the wife were fussing down at the house, the peace might have left for a while in the house. Amen? But she can't take my peace because it comes from Jesus. Amen? It might come through her sometimes in the house. But if you come down to the house and we're fussing, don't say, "Well, they don't have any more peace. We're just fussing." Amen? Anybody here don't fuss? All right. Don't look at me like that. Amen. Amen. Truth is, we all fuss. Amen. But the thing of it is, we don't let that rob us of our peace. The tranquility of the home might be gone. The good thing about fussing is you get to make up. Amen. Grandkids saying, "Oh my gosh." Hey man. But my peace comes from Jesus. My peace doesn't come from her. I have peace with her, and I love having peace with her. You know, sometimes we had to quit years ago. We used to pick at one another, we were just playing. And we would argue and fuss and say things, and she says, "You know, we gotta quit doing that. People think we're serious." And we was doing the plan because church people come, "I can't believe you talk to the pastor like that. I can't believe y'all was doing it." So we were sharing that with somebody here not long ago. But we had to stop doing that because people thought we were, and we always did it. We just always fussed with one another and just jokingly. And we knew we was joking, but other people didn't. Amen? So just because you see somebody fussing, stay out of their business. Amen? Stay out of their business. They're just having fun. Amen? They're having fun. Leave them alone. You say, "How can they have fun?" As long as they're at peace, let it be. Amen? That's their issue. That's their peace. Amen? Leave it be. But my peace doesn't come from her. It can come with her. We can have peace together, but our peace comes from Jesus. If we're going to have peace in the family, it's going to come from Jesus. Amen? You're going to have peace between you and your kids, it's going to have to come from Jesus. Amen? You're going to have peace between you and your parents, it's going to have to come between Jesus. And you get Jesus in the right place in your life and let him be the root of the peace of your life, and you'll have a peace that will endure irregardless of what happens in this world. Because this world can't take you peace because it comes from Jesus. And until Jesus tells them they can take your peace, even Job and all his problems, amen, had peace in the Lord. He was unsure. He was frustrated. He was aggravated. Amen. But he was still trusting in the Lord. "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Amen. Though after this flesh the worm shall devour, I know that I shall see him with my own eyes, mine and not another. I shall see him myself. He said, "I know my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to get to see him." Amen. He had that peace within him that all the circumstances that he was facing couldn't take away. Now, it disrupted the peace of the circumstances in which he was living. But it didn't disrupt the peace of the relationship that he had with God, because his peace is anchored and founded and rooted in Jesus Christ. Sister Mary's probably the only one who will know this. Who knows what a valediction is? Who knows what a salutation is? At the beginning of a letter? Well, the valediction, I had to look this up. The valediction is the end of the letter. Whenever we read Jesus dealing with people as he's talking to them and as he's dealing with them, his salutation to them is generally something like this, peace be with you. Go read and go look and see. Peace be with you. And his valediction to people as they are leaving him is go in peace. Amen. I'm glad he gives us peace coming and going. Amen. When we come to him, we find peace. And as long as we walk with him and as long as he's our Savior, and then you know what? If you ask him in your heart, he will always be your Savior. We can face anything that we need to face. And his parting words to us can be go in peace as well. I'm glad I can die in peace, irregardless of how I die. I'm going to die in peace. Come in peace. Go in peace. His valediction is there. His salutation is peace. His very birth brought the proclamation of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. At the birth of Jesus, they were proclaiming God's peace, a gift of God. A gift that came, the perfect gift, the perfect peace, the perfect hope we have in Jesus Christ. You know, they say, no Jesus and no peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus. K-N-O-W, peace. No Jesus, no peace. N-O, Jesus. N-O, peace. Amen. If you know Jesus, you'll know peace. But if you don't know Jesus, you'll have no peace. Why? Because he's the root. He's the foundation. He's where it all begins. He is our peace. And the Bible says he is our peace in verse number 14. He is our peace. And you need to remember that when the weight of the world starts crashing in on you and things just seem like all your peace is going away, he is our peace. But then we see the producing of peace, the production of peace. At the end of verse number 15, it says, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. I'm glad that he continues producing peace in my life. As we live through different things, as we go through different circumstances, as things change and circumstances change, situations change, his peace is still just as relevant as it was when he first gave it. Amen? Making peace. He made peace for mankind when he died on the cross. He reconciled us unto God, making peace in his own body. When people want to have peace with one another, if you have a conflict in the church and two members are at odds with one another, if you're going to have peace in your church, there's got to be reconciliation made. And the only way that reconciliation is going to have any tangible, meaning, lasting effect if it's a peace made by Jesus. The families that are being destroyed across America today, families that are falling in numbers, can find reconciliation if they allow Jesus to make that peace in their lives. Kids are estranged from the parents. Parents are estranged from the kids. There's no longer, it seems like, a natural desire and a natural affection like there used to be. We see those things falling away and falling apart as we see the world changing. But you know what can keep that together? You know what can cause that to adhere and be glued so tightly together that nothing can destroy it? It's the peace that Jesus can make in our hearts and our lives. You want peace, you need Jesus. And you need to find peace in a situation. You need to find peace with an individual. You need to find peace with whatever it is that you're dealing with. Let Jesus help you do it, because He's the one that's making peace. He done it. He done it when He died on that old rugged cross. And because He was making peace for us, amen, we know that peace can last, that peace can endure if we allow Him to be the one that makes the peace in our heart and in our lives. All the peace that we need comes from Jesus. By the cross. By everything that He's done. When the disciples were with Jesus in the storm in Mark chapter 4, it was Jesus that brought that calming peace, that said to the storm as He rebuked it, "Peace, be still." You ever been in a storm in your life and you was fighting and fighting and struggling and all of a sudden you just realize, all I need to do is call on Jesus. And He speaks those words, "Peace, be still." One of my favorite songs still to this day. And it cracks me up the way these songs, they come into favor and everybody's singing them for a while and then they die. But that song, "When I Call on Jesus." And one of my favorite groups to sing is a group of women that started in Trinity Baptist Church, and we got to hear them, I think it was last year, Memorial Day, singing for their homecoming. They got back together and sung for their homecoming. And man, just to hear them ladies sing that song and the passion that's in it, they're singing it because they believe it. "When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Peace, be still." Amen. Man, he brings that common peace. He's the one that makes peace in your life. You want somebody to make peace in your life, just call on Jesus and get a hold of that common peace. Get a hold of that divine peace. That's unlike the peace that the world gives. Jesus said in 14:27 of John, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In Philippians 1 and 2, He said, "Peace from God our Father." Amen. Aren't you glad that He can give us a peace that's unlike anything this world has ever been able to offer you? There's nothing in this world that can give you the peace that Jesus does. Amen. All the money in the world can't give you that peace. Howard Hughes died a recluse, shut away in a penthouse apartment in Las Vegas, with machines all around him and tubes hooked up to him, pumping chemicals through his body because he was afraid to die. One of the richest men the world has ever known couldn't find peace in all the money that he had. Michael Jackson lived a recluse, going out only when he had to. Everybody that came around him had to wear a mask before wearing masks was cool, like it is now. Amen. Why? Because he was afraid to die. Why? Because all their money, all their fame, everything they owned couldn't bring peace. The only one that can bring true peace to your heart and to your life is Jesus. That's why I said, "My peace is the peace I give unto you, not as the world give." I can give you a lasting peace. Why? Because I'm the source of all peace. And if you want peace, it's going to come from me. And when you get the peace that comes from me, you say, "Whoa." You'd be like the Apostle Paul there in Philippians 4. He said in verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's making peace, producing peace in our lives. It's a peace unlike the world offers us. We hear the word peace in the world all the time, but we see no peace. Neville Chamberlain in 1938 came back from Nazi Germany with a meeting with Adolf Hitler, and he carried a paper in his hand and he shook it as he got off of the airplane, and as the newsreels and the news reporters were there working, he said, "Peace! Peace!" And just a few short months later, Hitler launched his attack on Poland that initiated the Second World War. Man has tried to write peace treaties and make treaties, and the American, the Native American, the American Indian has been duped the most by peace treaties that have been made. Probably more than anybody that we can account of. Because it's a peace that man offers, and a peace that man offers is a peace that can't last. But the peace that Jesus gives is a peace that passes all understanding. We can't explain it. We can't describe it. We can't give you words to tell you about how good and how great it is. But let me tell you something. It's worth giving up everything in this world. It's worth surrendering everything that you hold dear to get it and to hold it and to have it in your heart and in your life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'll never know true peace. But He'll give you a peace unlike any peace you ever know. And the Bible said, and he preached peace. He proclaimed peace. In verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. This peace that he offers, this peace that he brings, this peace of Christmas is a peace to all men. To you who were afar off. Paul speaking to us as the Gentiles, and to those that were nigh, to the Jews. It's a peace for whosoever will, that's willing to call upon Him. It's a peace to the rich and to the poor, to the haves and the have-nots. It's a peace to anyone that'll hear. He preached eternal life, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He gives forgiveness of sins. Wherefore is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? When they criticized him for forgiving sins, he said, which is easier, to forgive the sins, say, thy sins be forgiven, or to rise up and walk? And so that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he looked at the man and says, rise up. Your sins are forgiven you. Rise up and take your bed and walk. Take your bed and go on. And that paralytic man was healed because he preached forgiveness of sins. And you know what? He's still there to forgive us of our sins. If you got sin in your life, child of God, you won't have no peace in your heart. You won't have no peace in your life until you get those sins under the blood of Jesus, until you find forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why do you tarry? Why will you linger and not let Jesus meet the need that you have in your life? When you can have peace, and He wants you to know peace, and He wants you to have peace, He told us of a home prepared in heaven. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I have a home. I don't have to worry about the things I'm leaving this world. I have a home prepared. His words of comfort, His words of peace. In John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, what peace. What peace we have in knowing we have a home prepared. What peace in hearing those words, let not your heart be troubled. Why? We don't have to worry about what's going on down here, because we got a home up there. We have something better than what the world has to offer. The products of peace in verses 18 to 22. We have access to the Father in verse 18, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why can we do that? Because we have access through Jesus. We have access to the peace of Christmas. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now we have access unto God. Verse 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now we have a relationship with the Son of God, a relationship with the people of God, a relationship that helps us to find peace with our very being. Romans 8:16-17 says, now we are the children of God. It says we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. My friends, just think on that for a while. When the world tells you you're nothing, think about where your citizenship lies. When the devil says you don't deserve anything, think about, man, I can go anywhere in the world and I'm still glad I'm an American. Amen. I don't have a desire to go anywhere else in the world because America's got so much to offer. America's got so much beauty to be seen right here. But just think about the celestial city of God that's prepared for us. I have a citizenship there. Not only do I have a citizenship, I have an heirship. I've been made an heir to the riches of glory through Christ Jesus. I've been made an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. I might not be anything down here, but I'm everything to God. And I'll have everything up there. Let me just throw this in for you again for those who maybe have never heard me say it. Don't ever say when one of your loved ones that's a child of God or a child of God dies and goes to heaven that heaven gained an angel. Heaven did not gain an angel. Heaven gained a saint, an heir, and a joint heir with Jesus. The angels in heaven are the ones who are, you might want to say, they're the servants of God. They're the ones who are doing the bidding of God. Read in the Bible, even Gabriel and Michael, the archangels, they're doing the bidding of God. They're doing the work of God. But what are the saints in heaven doing? They're around the throne rejoicing in God. No, friend, when I die, heaven won't gain another angel. Heaven's going to gain an heir to the riches of glory. Heaven's going to gain an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. Heaven's going to gain a new citizen to that city of God that He's prepared for those that belong to Him. Praise God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Praise God. There's no other foundation that men can lay that's been laid, which is Christ Jesus. And praise God. I'm glad I have a sure salvation. I have a sure foundation. My peace is secured not in who I am, but in what He's done. Amen. My peace is secured not because I deserve it, but because God's grace and mercy have been extended unto me. And praise God, I know I'm not much. But you know, you go look at a stone wall, you'll find some great old big rocks in that wall. You'll find some little bitty ones that are there to fill in. I've laid stone. I know what it, I know what it is. You're trying to find a stone and use the big ones and use the little ones. Amen. I might be just a little stone. Amen. But praise God, I'm built on a firm foundation.
Amen.
I'm built on something that's immovable and something that can't change. And then look at what he said lastly. And we have a presence in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A holy temple for a habitation of God through the Spirit. In Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthian church, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says, we have a home. We have a presence. We have everything that we need. And Jesus said, if I go, I'll come again. He said, I'll send the Spirit of truth that will guide you in all truth. The Spirit that will help you. The Spirit that will guide you. Where does he live? He lives within me. His presence, he's never left us. Amen. That's the peace of Christmas. That's the peace that Christmas can give you, is that if you know Jesus as your Savior. He said, in the city of David, a Savior is born. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you know his presence. You know his peace. You know what Christmas was really all about. It was that baby that was born to one day become what John said when he seen him coming to be baptized, said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song. I wonder this morning as we go through this Christmas season and we're approaching Christmas, if maybe there might be someone here that's struggling with all that Christmas entails. And maybe you don't have peace like you feel that you should have. You're not sure and you're just troubled. I want you to know this morning that you can find peace. He is our peace. And if you'll trust Jesus, he'll give you peace. If you don't know him as your Savior, you can know him this morning. You can invite him into your heart. You can have peace. If you know him as your Savior and you're struggling with the life itself and the things of life and the things that are coming your way, just look unto him. He makes peace. He has that common peace, that divine peace, that peace that passes understanding. He is our peace. He's everything we need. And he's proclaimed that peace. Don't take it for granted. He wants you to have peace. As we stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed for 1 minute, I wonder if there's one that might be here this morning that say, Pastor, I'm here this morning and I'm slipping my hand up. I just want you to know I don't know that peace. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I've never invited him into my heart. I've heard the messages preached. I've heard the word. I've been in Sunday school. I know the drill, but I've never asked Jesus into my heart, and I want you to pray for me. Is there one? No one's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. I wonder if there's one to slip their hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you're just struggling with things and you're just dealing with things that are taking away the peace in your life. And maybe I see that hand. Is there another this morning? I see that hand. Another this morning? I'm struggling with my peace and I'm not getting my peace where it needs to be. I want you to know something this morning. You can come and this morning and you can leave here with more peace than you ever imagined could be in your life. And you could have the peace of Jesus that passes all understanding in your heart and your life. If you'll come, why don't you step out this morning? Why don't you come out? You've slipped your hand up. You know that you need that help in finding that peace and getting that peace and having that peace. Won't you come on? Why don't you come on and find it this morning? Well, all we're going to do is pray for you. Nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody make fun of you. Nobody say anything. Folks here want to pray for you. They want you to have that peace that they have. Pastor, I just got a special burden in my heart, special need. I want you to pray. Is there someone who just has a special need you want me to pray about? As we sing this morning, will you come? I see that hand. I see the hand. Will you come?
Page number 359. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Where's my two young men that are going to be outside? Patrick, you want to help them? Amen. Y'all head on out there. Don't forget the church in the back. If for tithes and offering, there's a little box on the other side for the missionaries this morning, for the Missionary Christmas Fund. If you want to drop something in there, come back tonight, 5:30. I want the leaders and teachers, if you want to come and just hear what we're talking about, you're welcome. It's nothing secret or anything. I just want to kind of decide where we're going to go forward, but I want to see where the teachers and the leaders and what they've already got planned, what we are thinking about and what we need to look at doing. Come back tonight, 5:30 if you can, and tonight at 6 o'clock for the evening service if you don't want to come for the meeting. And we will see you then. And thank you for your attention this morning. And I pray that as you leave this morning, you leave with that peace of Jesus in your heart and life. And just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's yours and you're his. Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in prayer?